hold on. Gotta get some enthusiasm. Basically.
Some Dutch courage.
Dutch courage. Here comes Earl. I suppose you want a backup recording now, you bastard. Too late. That's okay. Mine's working. All right. Welcome to the first ever podcast I have dubbed The Comic Anvil, where we talk about comic books at least once a month, and we just geek out about them because we like comic books. Right?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So, I will be your gracious host. My name is Eric, and I like comic books. I'm a big fan of Marvel and DC and a lot of independent stuff. I've really been getting into Image lately, which is surprising because I lived through the 90s. Other than that, I'll allow the rest of my guests to introduce themselves, and we'll start with Dylan.
All right, well, you know, I'm Dylan. I like comics like the rest of us. Read a lot more Marvel than DC, although that might be changing soon with recent news we might get into. Big X-Men, Daredevil, and Iron Man fan. And, yeah.
Cool. All right. Wesley, you want to go next?
Rock and roll. Hi, my name is Wesley. I'm big in the comic books, like everyone else in here. I'm a columnist on mycomicnetwork.com, and I do reviews on there as my pseudonym, The Geek Who Landed. So, take it away, who's next?
All right. Yasmin? Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So I'm Yasmin, and I'm going to, of course, I like comics, but the problem is I won't be able to give such a, you know, detailed account, because here in the Middle East, comics aren't that big. So it's hard to give, but I'm a big X-Men and Deadpool fan, I guess.
Nice. All right. And who did I leave out? Anthony.
Me, yeah. I'm Anthony. Hello, everyone. I read mainly Marvel comics. I like to sometimes be crazy and venture out into DC, and recently I've been reading some more indie books as well, and I'm a big fan of Spider-Man, Thor, and Captain America.
Alright.
Cool.
And that's our cast, and hopefully we can all get together once a month and maintain this for a little while. I'm sure the cast will rotate, but whatever, you know, this is the first show, we're gonna let it roll. Right.
Yep.
Yeah,
I got
rock
nothing.
And roll, baby.
All right, so I'll start with my first pick. I only got the first 2 weeks of comics for May, because I get my books shipped to me. So I went with the one that freaked me out the most, I guess, and I picked Crossed, Psychopath, issue number 2, because it's about a guy who's not infected, but he's crazy. Like, mad crazy. I don't explain it, right? Like, you're in a world, it's kind of, you know, these guys are not quite zombies, but they're not undead, but they're not right in the head at the same time, right? So these are they're kind of zombies, so it's a story following the survivors of this kind of sewer zombie apocalypse, and amidst them, there's one guy who is crazier than the zombies themselves. So, yeah, that was my pick. I enjoyed it because it's morbid, and I like morbid comics. So I guess nobody's got any comments on that. I'm sure none of you read it.
Actually, I haven't read Crossed in a long time, outside of the fact that I read it when the initial Garth Ennis run, or what I call the, oh, sweet Lord, okay, this might be a little much for me, even for Garth Ennis.
Yeah. No, I embrace that stuff.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, just saying.
No, I've pretty much stuck with it. I read Family Values, too, and it was like Garth set it up, and then David Lapham went, you think Garth is bad? Check me out. And he's winning, I think.
Boy.
They're crazy. It's just crazy. So, do you want to go next, Wesley?
Yeah, I got a couple things in mind. I actually didn't really know the full pot. We were picking certain things, but I got a couple things in mind. I actually just did this Criminal, The Last of the Innocent.
I love that.
Oh, it was freaking amazing.
Yeah, so good.
Mm. Oh, nice. I did a review of it on my website, but what was neat about it caught my eye because of the fact that it was the first time I've read it, and just like the first time in ages. So what was crazy about it for me was the flashback sequences were the thing that really caught my eye. These Sunday morning style like comic sequences, and I went, wow, I never really seen Sean Phillips' artwork outside of that. It was pretty awesome to see him, that diversified sort of style he's playing with. And, like, anyone else have any other comments on it? Because
I'm kind of brilliant.
Thank you.
I read it myself, and I'm a bit of a Brubaker fan, and I really loved it. It's a great comic.
I like Brubaker, but I've never bought it. Not Criminal, anyways.
It's a really good non-superhero comic. It's a crime comic, in case you didn't really guess from the title of it. But
Is it like a noir, or is it more detective?
Yeah, it's got noir influence in there, yeah.
Very noir-esque. Very noir-esque.
Interesting.
But Brubaker and Sean Phillips, just some of the stuff they do in Criminal, it's just amazing to look at and read. And the Brubaker's dialogue and his captions, it just goes so well with Sean Phillips' art, and nice. It's a great collaboration.
I was kind of a nerd for him since Sleeper, so honest to goodness that it had taken me this long to finally get in the Criminal is part of my pun, Criminal. But bing!
Well said. Anybody else read that?
I started reading Criminal, but I got into Brubaker and Phillips' stuff, but I started with Incognito first, so that it was kind of, it's a story about how you have the supervillain, I forgot his name, I can't remember it, but he's basically Incognito. It's a really intense story, you see everything he goes through, how he feels degraded, you know, by having, the government put him in hiding and everything, and when he finally finds, he thought he lost his powers, when he finally finds out that he does have them, he tries to sneak away, experiment with everything that he has, and he finds out that he's grown stronger, because his twin brother died and transferred powers or something. But then when he does discover it, the people, the creator, they find out that he is, still alive. He isn't dead like they thought he was. So, and then it builds up, and it's really, and the end is, I think, is really good. I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't read it, but again, it's a Brubaker and Phillips book, so it was great.
I've never read that one. I think I would like to.
Yeah. It's a good series.
I'm currently waiting on the sequel on Trade, Bad Influences. Trade waiting on it.
Do any of you guys read Irredeemable? It sounds like a set of she was talking about her brother and the powers, and there's a set of characters in Irredeemable like that. And the one guy, the one twin they thought died, and the other guy was actually sharing his power with them the whole time. But now that his other brother was gone, he had all the power, so he became super powerful. But meanwhile, his other brother wasn't actually dead. So that just kind of reminded me of that. I'm going to have to look into some Incognito, I think. All right, so Dylan, lay it on me, stud.
I'm going to go with Wolverine issue number 9 by our friend Jason Aaron.
Damn it, man, I haven't read that yet, but that's okay, go on.
Yeah, I won't spoil anything for you. Basically, the best way I can describe this issue and why I liked it, it feels like a 70s revenge flick, kind of. It's very action-oriented.
Grindhouse-like?
Yeah, kind of grindhouse-like. Wolverine's just running around kind of gutting people. There's like 3 car chases and a bunch of gunfights. And
I'm going to love it.
Wolverine just going crazy, doing what he does best.
Nice!
The art isn't spectacular, but for what the issue is, just an action issue, it works pretty well.
Who's the artist?
Simple and, Daniel Acuna. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
You got it right.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Because I was really enjoying Ronaldo, the guy who started on the series. I liked his art too a lot.
Yeah, this is lesser, but for what it is, it's easy to follow and works for the tone of the book, I guess.
Yeah,
it's just good.
I like Wolverine.
Damn fun read.
Yeah,
it's been a good series.
is good in my books. Oh, who snickered? You got something you want to say?
No, you said, no, you just mentioning the Batman thing. That's what I was sniggering at.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, the Batman thing.
Well, this is kind
the
of...
Argument we have, the argument we have on Nerds on the Rocks every week, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know.
Although I'm actually on your side anyway. I agree with you.
There you go.
Wolverine would beat Batman. But.
Kind of the genesis of this podcast, you know. We always end up talking about comic books, but we never want to do topics about comic books. So I thought, well...
No, Oil never wants to do episodes.
Well, it's his show. Let's make our own, right? So that's what we did. And I thank you guys for coming.
No problem.
So yeah, more than a pleasure.
Well, thank you. I don't know, Yasmin, you were talking about Incognito. Do you have anything more recent that you'd like to talk about?
I just started Amazing Spider-Man, like 654, and the Point One series, and it leads into the new Venom. I think it's a really great change. You've got Flash Thompson. Yeah, you know, the guy used to screw around with Peter in high school.
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah, so he's gonna be the new Venom. You've got them like hooked up to test tubes and stuff, like chemicals to help him overcome like the symbiotes for that forest.
Right.
So yeah, so then his struggle. Just try and control, like he's different emotions with because when symbiote takes over, he changes his personality. He's like cocky and arrogant. Now Venom isn't just like some supervillain. He's under the control of the government. So they warn him that they have a failback in case he gets out of hand. Like a weapon that will permanently remove the symbiote from him. Mm-hmm. And we also find out that there's another person before him, like another person they experimented on, to try to gain control of this device, of the symbiote, and the device ended up cutting off the symbiote and killing him. So, yeah, and
they
then
tried
you
to
see,
separate.
Like, yeah, and then we go on to the new Venom series, which I think is really great. We see like I forgot the artist's name. I don't really have it with me, but he usually does black and white comics, so you don't really see colors. But it's nice because it gives it a kind of depth. I don't know how to explain. So.
No, I think there's a couple of us that read that. You must read Venom, right, Anthony?
Oh, yeah, the new one with... Yeah, I think it's Terry Moore who's...
Tony Moore.
Tony Moore.
Yeah. Him and Remender did the Frankencastle series.
Mm.
Yeah, I really enjoy that book, too. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I love Venom. I actually had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. Last time I was at the comic store, my comic guy gave me a great big Venom poster from the cover number one that Joe Q did. She's front and center in my main den. It is. It's quite nice. I like it.
I wasn't going to read it at first, actually, because even though I like Spider-Man, I don't like symbiotes that much, and I think, we don't really need any more in the Marvel Universe. But then I read the Point One issue by Dan Slott, which kind of sets it up, and that's what really made me want to try and check it out. And I enjoy it now, the three issues that have been out.
I kind of felt that Point One issue was really Venom number one. It's good. I like the idea. I mean, I've got my own theories. I think that Flash won't be around forever, and they'll be able to keep the series going with another character, say like U.S. Agent. Right.
That wouldn't surprise me, actually.
Well, I mean, he's crippled. He's running. He's the turnkey at the Thunderbolts headquarters there, and why not? Right. He's military.
Good work.
He's of sound mind.
Yeah.
He still kicks ass with one arm.
That's the honest truth.
It's true, right? So, yeah. I don't know. It was making me think about Anti-Venom, too. Because what's going on with Brock? Like, I'm not completely caught up, and I know he's coming back. But the way they've been handling symbiotes lately, I think, is a lot better than they used to.
Do you mean compared to the 90s?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God, anything.
I remember during the Clone Saga, they had the Planet of the Symbiote series. And it was horrible. God, it was horrible.
Symbiotes everywhere.
Yeah, we got clones. We got symbiotes. Spider.
I'm still not over that. That's why I don't like him that much. And then Bendis did that Mighty Avengers thing, didn't he? When
Venom Bomb.
Loads of Yeah, that was it. I didn't like that that much.
That's okay.
It just seemed like an excuse to put all the Avengers symbiotes on all of the Avengers, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's put a symbiote on Wolverine. That'll be cool. That'll look like a cool cover. Oh, okay.
No.
What? Pardon?
I like Bendis' stuff, man, mostly.
I like Bendis as well, but just that story.
I'm hit or miss on Bendis for the most part, but to each his own.
Yeah, well, I've got writers like that too, or hit or miss, but I mean, I don't know. The biggest complaint I find for Bendis is he speaks in Bendis speak, and I don't really know what that
that
means.
Is
yes, that's a.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I grew up in a crass family. Of friends and stuff, so when I read his books, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the way we talk to each other. But I guess, you know, if you're trying to portray a 20-something-year-old, 30-something-year-old superhero, you don't want them talking like a 15-year-old kid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you mean.
I think that's the definition of Bendis speak.
I've seen people say that he shouldn't really be writing the characters he is because he's like 45 or something, and I just think that's a really stupid thing to say.
Yeah, honestly. I don't know. He's got some young daughters, so I think.
Yeah. I needed Takeo, which is about kids, and that's probably one of the better things he's had out this year. He's,
I like Takeo, too, Takeo, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a one-shot, right?
Graphic, it was a graphic novel, I think, original graphic
right.
All ages.
Nice.
Him and Michael Avon Oemming did it, and they did a really nice job with it, in my opinion.
And they do Powers as well, right?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys read that?
I do not. I don't read much Powers now.
No, I don't.
I haven't read it in a while.
Really? Was it good?
Apparently, its scheduling is.
Well, he's busy. He's writing two.
He's got odd schedule.
Comics and a Moon Knight, apparently, and brilliant.
I love Ultimate Spider-Man.
And also working on the Powers TV series for the pilot.
Yeah.
Show.
And the Ultimate Spider-Man series, consulting.
Yep.
And also the Castle graphic novel.
There you go. I don't know how people can knock Bendis. He's all over the place.
Exactly.
He's making things better for us, the fans, I think. I don't know. I mean,
he has like five books out each month.
I get sucked in by his stuff, man. I didn't want to read New Avengers, but I bought a couple trades, and then I was like, I got to get them all. And next thing you know, here I am. I'm buying all four Avenger titles.
Don't ask my comic guy his opinion on Brian Michael Bendis. You could be in a store for 6 hours.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's why I like Twitter. You can just walk away from those guys.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, Lord, I'm going to be having conversations with my comic guy whenever he hears this podcast.
Oh, sorry.
No worries. I can handle it.
Anybody else got a second pick they want to talk about? I do.
Yeah, I can go after you.
I got a second pick.
I've got a first pick I'd like to talk about as well.
Oh, wait, it's your turn then.
Go for it. Rock and roll, man. The floor is yours.
In numbers, we don't go well.
Yeah, my pick is actually, it's one of the two Four Monthly titles Marvel currently has out, and in my opinion, it's the better Four Monthly title they have out, and that is Journey into Mystery 623. And I like the Mighty Four because it's got Olivia Capel's art, but
that's
Journey into Mystery has been so much better, in my opinion.
Really, I dropped that like a rock. I was like, enough of that, man.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it, man.
Really?
I like how you open it, and on the recap page, there's like a door that's like somewhere from the Twilight Zone or something, and then you start reading it. And I think Doug Braithwaite's art is just perfect for doing Asgardians and big epic gods and stuff. And I like what Kieran Gillen is doing with Kid Loki, because I didn't like, see, when Fraction did these World Eaters arc, I hated Kid Loki, but now after two issues of Kieran Gillen's Journey into Mystery, I actually quite like the character.
Really? I didn't like Kieran's run though on Thor when he was filling the gap between GMS and Fraction.
Yeah, his post-Siege stuff, that was alright, but and then I was waiting for Fraction to come on it, and then Fraction came on it, and that was like, the World Eaters, like, not really 7 issues long, and like I've got like 4 issues there where nothing happens, pretty much.
I know,
and
that's why I dropped it, man. I was like, I'll give this first Fraction arc a shot, and if I'm not pleased, I'm out. I dropped it.
And he's two Mighty Four issues as well. There's not really been that much happened in those two issues, but I'm going to buy that regardless because it's Olivia Capel's art.
I think I'm not looking at it properly because I know with the Iron Man series that he writes, it took a long time for people to be like, wow, this is pretty...
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I'm thinking.
I don't have the patience to wait for that. I'll buy the trade once it gets good.
Yeah.
you know.
When they put that in an omnibus like they did with his Iron Man.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I don't know, like, I added Fear Itself, and my comic shop guy was, wait, you want to drop Thor, and you want to add Fear Itself? I'm like, yeah, and he's like, are you sure? yeah, I'm pretty sure. And I thought about it, I'm like, oh yeah, Fear Itself's kind of centered around Thor, eh? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, I don't know. Fear Itself is another beast altogether.
Oh, boy.
First two issues, so... I don't know. I'm not going to pick that, though, but I do have a second pick. I ordered this Boom comic. It's actually a trade. It's a reprint of the old Epic Hellraiser comics. And
sweet.
I'm just going to name drop some of the people who wrote stories in there. The very first story is written by Larry Wachowski, and it was amazing. The second story is written by Neil Gaiman. Art by Dave Gaiman. Third story, Dwayne McDuffie. That surprised me. I was like, Dwayne McDuffie wrote for Hellraiser? Awesome. And there's a couple more here. There's one by Clive, Mike Mignola, and the rest of these guys I don't know. But it's Boom Studios reprinting old Marvel comics, and I think that's awesome. I have a couple of these, but I don't have the whole series. And I thought if you are a fan of Hellraiser, this is a great book to buy. For $20, you get 6 issues and lots of reading with pretty art, but you gotta like that grim and gritty, you know. I like how my picks are all morbid, how Friday the 13th type stuff, but what are you gonna do? I do like superheroes, honestly. Dylan,
I'm gonna go with another X-Men book, Uncanny X-Men 537, the latest issue,
written by my man Kieran. There you go.
Yeah. And then,
is that Kieran Gillen too?
Yeah.
Yep.
Really?
Yep, Kieran Gillen.
Huh. And it's got art by the Dodsons, which the Kieran Gillen and Dodson is always awesome.
Yes.
Opinion.
I'll agree.
The story is picking up from Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men with the aliens coming back to Earth, basically, and then one of them's trying to get revenge on Kitty Pryde, who he blames for everything. So, yeah, she's kind of running away from him the whole issue, trying to get some help. Of course, she's stuck, phased, or whatever, so no one can hear or see her.
Really? How did she get stuck, yeah. Phased? Stuck in a phase?
Something to do with when they bought a bar.
I don't understand. If
she's got her, like, costumes.
Stuck. Was she, like, floating through the earth?
I don't know how she... Because the chills are, like, running on the ground, but I don't know how that makes sense. I guess she's just kind of hovering, but... moving. Or no, actually, there's some panels where she's running on air, so like, does that make sense?
Doesn't she have, like, a helmet or something, where if she wears that, then she doesn't phase through stuff?
Yeah, she's not, like, this helmet thing.
There's something that happens to it in the issue where she can't get to it, or it's just not there, so she's kind of screwed.
Wait a tick. Wait, from what I know of Shadowcat, Kitty Pryde, Back when I was a kid, when she first had her powers and stuff, if she was in phase mode and touched any kind of computeristic technology, it would disrupt. So you're telling me that she's got a helmet she can wear now? Is it magical,
Eric,
or something?
That was in the 80s, Eric. Come on.
Oh, come on, man. There's no explanation. That's just why I'm asking. That's all.
It's just some helmet that keeps her solid. And then, okay, here's what it is. It gets damaged, so she can't use it, basically.
Interesting.
Yeah, so good art, good writing. I actually prefer Gillen to Fraction when it comes to X-Men.
Sacrilege! I don't even read X-Men. I don't know.
I'd love to defend Matt Fraction, but at the minute I can't. But we'll go into that some other time.
You know, he was the Thor run, are you?
It's not just his fault. I've got problems with Fear Itself as well, but I don't want to go into him because you haven't read issue 3, so.
Oh. Okay.
All I'm saying, right, the 3 issues of Fear Itself, the 2 issues of Mighty Thor, my favorite thing about all 5 of those comics has been the art, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, Stuart can draw. I'll give him that.
Oh, we can't. Oh, yep. This looks so gorgeous. Especially issue 3. Some of the pages in that, they're just Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, the beautiful book. I mean, it's amazing.
Hey, do you need a wipe over there? Oh, my God. What the hell?
Holy crap.
My brother turned to me the other day and said, do you think Stuart Immonen was the right choice for Bear Itself? And I was like, what? What? Did you actually just ask me that? And
he didn't like him?
Apparently, I don't think he likes Stuart Immonen's art, no. But
really?
Whatever.
Whoa, exactly.
He probably likes, what's that guy that does Scarlet with Bendis?
Alex Maleev.
Yeah, I don't like that guy's art. Okay. Anybody else? Yasmin, you got a second pick?
Yeah, but I actually want to ask Anthony, I think, about the new Moon Knight, I think.
Yeah.
What is your take on that? I haven't read it yet, but I'm really interested because I've been looking at the artist, Alex Maleev, I think. Yeah, and yeah. It looks really great, but I don't know if I should, you know, bother with it because of the, like, original Moon Knight series, you know, bringing back again. They're just going to change everything all over again, or do they actually stick to the original story?
Sorry, you finished. Go on.
No, that's what I'm done.
Oh, I was going to say, I haven't actually read many Moon Knight issues. I think the first one Bendis wrote is the first one I actually read, and I personally like what he's doing with Moon Knight. And when I got to the end of the first issue, I thought there was going to be a continuity problem because Steve Rogers was dressed as Captain America, and I was like, what? He shouldn't be dressed like that. And then I got to the end of the issue and it made sense. But if people haven't read it, I'm going to spoil it. But
oh, okay, fine.
I personally like what he's doing with it, but that's just my opinion. I like most stuff Bendis does anyway, so.
Yeah, because I didn't want to read it just because it's a Bendis, you know, title, just because it has the art. But if it's a good story, I think I'll read it. But also I think I'm really going along. A lot of Brubaker things today because that's all I can talk about. There's his Gotham Central book that just came out, I think, Brubaker and Ruckus. And
Trade?
It's a really cool story, you know? Yeah, it's a really good read. It's like, you know, usually in comics you look at Batman's side of, you know, how everything is, but in Gotham Central you can take a look at the police department, you know, and you know, Batman really doesn't help them as much. He's more, you know, a hindrance, I think, I guess. Then you start off. I'm not gonna like. I think this is like one of the best Batman stories I've read so far. It's like you know, they give Gotham City depth, you know, when they introduce, like, the squad. Mm. They're just normal and flawed detectives. So, you know, what's it called? Their humanity is, like, broad, you know, sorry. So they mix kind of, there's, like, a problem. They start off with one of the cops. His partner is killed off by Mr. Freeze. And they're kind of conflicted. They're like, whether or not we should use the bat signal to solve our problems. They're like, but what does it mean? You know, they're kind of conflicted. They're like, what does it mean if we use it? What does it mean if we don't? Like, do we depend on Batman too much? Can't we do anything ourselves? So
I think a few of these guys have read this too.
Yeah, I kind of was doing an inside squee when I heard you mention Gotham Central because I was kind of a nerd for the book. So
did you read it too?
Oh, did I read it? I was when she mentioned Gotham Central, I was squeeing,
nice.
And I was trying not to hide it as much as humanly possible.
Everybody
but
gets excited about Batman, but me.
Gotham Central rolled, man. I mean,
that's
cool.
It sounds like a book that they're trying to keep Batman out of, but it's kind of centered around him. I think I should probably try it.
I really want to read it myself.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I haven't grabbed it.
It's amazing.
Dylan, you've read it? No?
Not. I don't know if I've actually read any of it.
It's Earl who's read it, Eric.
Oh, okay.
I think Earl's mentioned it a few times on Nerds on the so.
Right. Our humble producer.
Yep.
Who'd rather play PlayStation than talk about comic books?
Is that what he's doing?
You betcha, stud.
He's such a gaming nerd.
That's his thing, right? That's why... Whatever.
Yeah, I suppose. Whatever. As long as he's happy.
So I guess that's our Batman plug. Well done, Yasmin. Wesley, you got a second by chance?
Well, this is actually hilarious that we're going to be in the land of Batman in a very Suedo way and more further, because I'm going to Secret Six number 34 that came out this week.
Hey, wait, 34? Oh, I've just picked up Secret Six. I like that book.
I love this comic.
Nice.
I mean, especially when you see the first. By the way, has anyone read Secret Six 34? Just before I get in, make sure so what I can discuss, what I can't discuss.
Go ahead.
Oh,
I'm not sure if you read it or not.
Yeah.
It just came out last Wednesday?
Yeah, it just came out this Wednesday.
I don't know. I haven't read that one.
Because it's basically it's following up from when they just got out of hell.
Right.
And they basically got that whole storyline. And now they're sort of, I almost call it the issue that makes you go, aww, because it's like a rare. I'm not kidding. It's for Secret Six. It's actually a very strangely touching issue.
And is it romantic or something?
No, it's kind of sweet in how, because basically Bane goes on his first sort of date that he's had in ages, at the last half of the book, and it's sort of like this really sort of sweet sort of Bane's like, I'm Bane, I broke the bat's back, I killed people. Why are you so... And you, girl, you're so nice. Why are you so nice? You remain to me so nice. And me, I kill people. And Bane's just sort of like... And he's sort of like the... And there's... I don't want to spoil the beginning of the book for you, for anyone who hasn't read it yet, because the beginning sort of like follows up from... So I'm sort of covering the last half that I don't think is as spoilery for anyone involved. But it's kind of like... And then there's this great little moment with Scandal and Ragdoll near the end that's just made me go... Aww. And also
they've just been going at each other, right?
It's so genuinely sweet, and how Ragdoll talks about his time in hell and talks about all this. And I know.
What a statement.
I'm not kidding. It's genuinely sweet. It's like I felt like, pardon the pun again, hell froze over, that they made it sweet. I'm not kidding.
Let me share with you my time in hell. It was very sweet.
I did not even realize I said, oh, Lord have mercy.
No, that was good. I like that.
Hey.
That's heavy metal. Right on.
Yeah, I'm doing devil signs right now as we speak. But let's see. But there's one other thing I had to mention, and it's also, if anyone follows Gail Simone on Twitter, she does a meme occasionally called King Shark is a Shark. Really, King Shark is really a shark. And then right in the midst of the issue, it's like, I am a shark! King Shark is a shark! And I thought, oh god, and the meme continues anew.
Nice.
I love that meme. Nice. I had a little war with it on Twitter with somebody of King, no, King Shark is actually an otter. No, King Shark is a shark. And I just kept going for like 5 minutes. I was laughing my head off. So, yeah, I was just like going, oh, God. Yeah, I really like this issue, though. And I'm a Secret Six nerd, and I'm a fan. And I'm also a fan of Deadshot in it, because I'm a big nerd for Suicide Squad. So it's kind of like mixing two of my biggest loves together in one book. And like I said, Secret Six 34, the rare issue of Secret Six that'll make you go, aww.
I like them villain books. I got into Thunderbolts, and I was like, I gotta check out this Secret Six, because it tied into Lex Luthor's run in Action Comics.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of hooked me, and I'm like, this is interesting. I'll check it out. I didn't know Vandal had a daughter. Like, that was my main draw. And Bane was there. I'm like, why is Bane there?
Yeah. Bane rules.
Yeah.
First book that made me really like Bane.
I liked Bane a long time ago. He broke somebody. I loved it.
Take a look at the cover of the issue. You'll like it.
Oh, well, I'll see.
Isn't there a rumor flowing around that what DC are doing with Flashpoint might actually retcon that
breaking
his back? I mean, I don't know. That's just what Bleeding Cool have been posting a lot of articles, and all of them have just been rumored pretty much, which is like...
Yeah, well, that's what they do. He used to write Richard Johnson used to write another article on CBR. It was all rumor, scandal.
Because they said Grant Morrison was going to be writing Wonder Woman, and that turned out to be true.
True?
Yeah, that's what followed up. No, it's not true, Eric. He's not. Grant Morrison's not writing Wonder Woman.
Ugh.
It's Brian Harris.
Superman.
That's the next rumor.
What's wrong with that rumor? All right, let's do it. Let's talk
about
Flashpoint.
There's nothing wrong with that rumor. I'm just saying it's probably not going to be true.
Oh, are we on the relaunch now?
I guess we are. We must be talking about it.
Relaunch time!
Yeah, okay, time to reboot this podcast. Let's talk about Flash Boot. I read somewhere somebody called it Flash Boot, and I've been calling it that ever since. I think it's a mild retcon. I don't think it's a complete reboot.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think there's going to be tweaks that need to be made.
My biggest deal with it right now is I don't really know. Like, they haven't explained it well enough for me to have an opinion either way.
My opinion is, I mean, I kind of was very vocal about it on Twitter and some of the responses I was getting, but I posted one video of my description of what I was hearing of from the Ghostbusters film of mass hysteria, cats and dogs living together, biblical proportions, and I'm going, we don't know anything yet.
People were freaking out.
Yeah.
Freaking out. I was like, whoa, calm down.
I think it, yeah. Do you know, it might partly as well be, because Marvel are quite renowned now, aren't they, for putting out new number ones, whereas DC, they don't really go back to number ones as much, do they? You know, you've got, like, Action Comics, yeah, which is 900, Superman is 700, Wonder Woman 600. Maybe that they're just going back to number ones and retconning some of the smaller stuff that no one really cares about anyway.
I think they're trying to make it more cohesive.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, so they can have their new heroic age for DC. Yeah. I really think it's a great idea to have the day and date digital, especially for someone like me. I kind of live in the boonies, and getting comic books isn't the easiest thing. So if I could buy them day and date, you know, that would be better. And then I could talk about it and not be worried about being spoiled and stuff.
Correct.
And also, utilizing the internet like that is the best damn advertising in the world. I mean, who doesn't have the internet now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who?
Anybody?
No one.
Right? Like, I mean, we got us a bit of an international cast here. Tell me I'm wrong.
I was tempted to say no then, but I didn't make it.
Think about it, man. I mean, I don't know.
I don't have the internet. I'm just on Skype using the stream.
Right. I don't know. I think it's a great way to get books into new people's hands, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the children.
Yeah.
I mean, kids don't have jobs, mostly.
You've heard about the newest thing they're doing with the option of they're going to have for Justice League, they're going to have the $3.99 $3.99 comic, and then if you want to pay an extra dollar, you can get a code for the digital code to basically download it anywhere.
Like a Blu-ray. I want that. Yeah. I love that idea. I'm like, that is genius.
I got really excited by that.
I think that's a good idea, but if I've got it in hard copy, I'm not really going to want it digitally as well. Yeah. That's just me personally.
You get the first arc, right? And you get codes in each book. So you read the print at home, and then a year later, you're taking a road trip.
I suppose so. I didn't really think about that. Well, the thing is with me, though, I can't read digital comics on my phone. I don't have an iPad. The only thing I can read them on is my laptop. So
I'm pretty sure we can all say that eventually those kind of readers will be made quite available at VCR places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, is it a little early to be doing something like this? Maybe. Or maybe it's the kick in the ass that the industry needs.
If DC is smart, though, they need to put some kind of promo in front of the Green Lantern movie so it's not just people on Twitter who know about it. They need to get it out there and tell people who've seen the Green Lantern movies, like, say, hey, digital comics, go get them, kids.
I know what you're saying. I mean, there's been articles on CNN, USA Today. I mean, all the big news publication places.
They've got Batman out next year. They should just fucking plug the shit out of it in front of the Dark Knight Returns. Yeah. I might have to swear. Awesome.
That's the first time somebody sweared. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we've gotten this long without no one swearing. Sure, and now the floodgates have opened.
Yes. I'm going to burn my Pat Bam pajamas, damn it. That's what Earl was saying. I thought that was funny.
What was it? At my own store, I go in the store Wednesday, aftermath of the announcement, and there's like a tense atmosphere the moment I get in there. I'm going, aw, no. I mean, one of the people who have been going there dropped his file because of the reboot. I had my comic guy going on about an hour-long rant about the inherent flaws of the reboot and every single thing about the reboot and why it's wrong and all this stuff. And I'm going, oh, boy. And I was just going, oh, this is going to be fun. I mean, he's a retailer, and he's admittedly very nervous about it. I mean, but at the same time, and I can't fault him for being nervous, but at the same time, I'm trying to go, like, I decided just not even argue with him about it. I'm going, just Let him go.
Yeah, just observing by then. The first thing I did was ask my comic shop. I was like, what do you think about that? And he was like, I guarantee you that the digital day-and-date books will be the same as the print books, so it won't hurt us that much.
Yeah, it really won't.
And what happened, right? They announced that, yes, they will be the same price day-and-date, but 4 weeks later it will drop a dollar. So if you still want to wait a month, you'll save a dollar.
There you go.
You know,
I will
for
be
me,
probably
eh.
doing that.
What's that?
You didn't know they were doing that? No, for some of the titles, I'll probably just wait a month just so I can get them a bit cheaper. Just what titles, well, I'm not, if they get spoiled for me, then fine. I'm not going to like lose any sleep over. But some of the titles I'll be buying in print, and some of the titles where I'm not as familiar with the creators or the characters, I'll just get them on digital for
right.
a bit.
I was thinking for books cheaper. That are a slow burn, it's a great way to catch up. It will be a great
Yeah, it is,
way
yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it'll be very handy to have, like, that sort of option of being able to just go, you know what, I don't have to get this for me. I'll just wait to download it on my computer or my phone, what have you. I mean, it's really not a bad thing in the long haul. I mean, wait a month, well, get a comic dollar cheaper or so. So. Right.
Exactly, and it's everywhere. It's absolutely in every home almost.
Yeah. The main problem with it is that it's going to make pirating them even easier.
Do you think it'll make it easier?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I've seen.
I was surprised.
I never thought of it.
Because they don't have to scan them now, do they? They've already got them on there.
Yeah, it's like I have to get all my comics. I have to like refer to my pirate friend, okay, to get everything that I need because we don't have anything there here. So, So I think going digital is a good idea, but it has a lot of problems with it, you know.
Right.
So.
I don't think it's any different than movies and stuff.
Yeah. Movies
Music.
Get pirated.
I mean,
an album's on the internet like 2 months before it's in shops and.
Yeah.
Like,
same with some movies, 2 weeks before it's out in theaters.
Yep.
It's just.
And it's really it's not doing the film industry any good, and it's not going to do the comic book industry any good, but. I don't know, man.
I think it's a little just different the way they digitize their comic books because, like, maybe it's just the reader, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Cause
it just seems to be making the pirates' job easier for them, if anything, because now they don't have to scan them. It's already on there for them to stick on a BitTorrent and
right.
do that shit.
Well, I'm not too keen on that. I like to buy my stuff.
Same here. I honestly
support what you like. If you don't, you won't get to enjoy it forever.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they could always like say someone's trying to get someone's like basically getting the comic and they're doing like a PDF file and they're trying to like, tweak around and get it on the computer. But what's made to say they might do like a little something to go like, oh, you're downloading this illegally. Well, we'll put a little something in there to make sure that you can't read this thing the moment you get it.
Yeah.
Like deleting the word balloons or tweaking or like mucking with the color scheme of it. Something weird. So if you download
that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking, right? Because you need a certain reader to read that format. I mean, it might be a good idea for the pirates to steal that format, but if you don't have the reader, right?
Yeah,
correct. If you want to go to the video games with like some people, like computer software, they've been actually adding little quirks to tweak around with the pirates that have been pirating their games online. So why not the comic industry do the same thing to prevent that sort of pirating?
Right.
I mean, at least that's what I'm thinking.
Well, I think anybody would be foolish to think otherwise. They're going to do something. They have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I mean, I'm sure they watch the news. They see what keeps happening to Sony. They don't want that happening. Right?
Mama.
Can we get our speaking of Sony, can we get our free games now? Because I haven't turned mine on to them.
I haven't tried it yet, so
yeah,
I don't know.
It's a little, I think their server's a little over capacity right now.
Oh,
yeah,
I
couldn't get anything.
Yeah, well.
I couldn't.
In North America, we're okay so far, kind of.
No, here I haven't been able to get anything.
No. Dylan,
I updated it, but I haven't actually gone onto the PlayStation store because PlayStation is my dad's, and we need to change the password, and he hasn't really been around the past couple days.
Do you have more than one profile on your PlayStation?
I don't think so.
Because if you have more than one profile, well, you get free games for each profile, from what I understand.
Really?
Oh, I'll have to look into that then.
Mm-hmm.
It won't. it's not if you have to. Don't you have to have been a PSN member before?
Yeah, but I
crashed though. So if you make a new profile on
you didn't have to be a PSN Plus member. I was never.
I know that. Yeah.
But I've got two.
I might have a second account I use for Metal Gear Solid or something, so I'll have to check my hard drive. That's a good point.
Cool. So I guess that's it, eh? I don't know. Anybody else got anything they want to add about the Flash boot?
I've got nothing else for right now.
I think it's cool. I think more people are going to be reading comic books. I don't think it's going to be completely insulting to old-time friends, fans, because certain things they've already said out loud that, you know, we're not retconning Blackest Night and stuff like that. I mean, I think
of course I'm not going to retcon anything Geoff Johns wrote.
No, of course not.
Well, call. Blackest Night's not getting retconned, that's for sure. They've already announced that one, so.
Certain stuff. I don't know. I'm interested.
I just don't want to retcon anything Grant Morrison's done. That's what I'm worried about. What Grant Morrison has done with Batman.
Yeah.
No, there's been talk of that too. He's got a long-term game.
There's a rumor about Damian. And...
Right. No, I don't think that stuff's going away. I don't think it.
As long as like post Flashpoint, Dick's not Robin again. Like they come back that far, then it'll be all right.
I read a tweet from Scott Snyder saying basically his Detective Comics books they wouldn't be retconned. So I guess that means Dick's not going back to what he was.
I think they've set up a few franchises already for this new age.
And they've got
What they're doing is they're retconning the B guys that they want to bring to A list, like Cyborg, Firestorm.
Actually does sound good.
Right.
Yeah.
Firestorm, they're making him into. They have Gail Simone, Ethan Van Siever doing the co-writing duties on that book that's upcoming here. Yeah, the 10 books I actually like from what I was reading on so far, for the most part, of what they're doing with it.
Only two have interested me, but I'm not a huge DC fan. I think I only buy 5 or 6 titles from them in the first place. So.
Yeah, same here. I'll probably end up buying maybe double that, though, once I see creative teams and how I won't have to read a bunch of trades to get into it.
We got 42 more announcements to go.
Yep.
Oh, mama.
Fantastic. Right?
Can't afford them all.
Yeah,
they're not like Pokemon.
That's DC.
I'm using that one, man. Sorry.
No worries, mate. I'm cool with it.
All right, I guess that'll be our wrap then. Thank you, everybody, for coming along and participating in our very first Comic Anvil show.
It was fun.
It was a blast, man.
Right on. It's always nice to get together and just kind of spill your guts about the things we love, like comics. And that's what the purpose of the show is. So hopefully we can do it again in a month and keep a routine. I mean, what's 12 times a year? 12 hours of your life.
Not a problem.
Right?
Too much.
All right. Too much.
Too much.
It's like half a day.
It's like half my life.
That's a good sleep after a wicked drunk.
Yeah. Or a long week.
All right, folks. Thanks again.
No problem.
More
than a pleasure, man.
Cool.